Dad, I have a question. What is an IPO? Hey, everybody. I'm Luke.
I'm Spencer.
And on today's episode of Dad, I have a question, we're going to be talking about IPOs. We haven't recorded a podcast episode in a while, but we're back. And we're not dead.
We're back. We're here. We're ready to teach. Ready to learn. Ready to teach. All right. So, what is an IPO? First of all, do you know what IPO stands for?
I do not. This is a word that I've heard in the news and I've heard you say a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that we could bring it up here.
All right. IPO stands for Initial Public Offering.
Okay.
Okay. And so an IPO is a transaction, like a financial event, where a company sells shares to the public, usually on a stock exchange. So let's take a step back for a second.
So in the context of like, is this like in the realm of like trading stocks?
Yeah, absolutely. Like exactly. Okay. It's how a company goes from being privately held, which means it's owned by usually just a few people.
Their creators or their partners.
Exactly. To being publicly traded.
And we've done multiple episodes on this. I feel like we've talked about this a lot with like, what is the stock market?
Yes.
And maybe investing or I don't know.
Yes. So we've talked about some of these concepts. But basically an IPO is the event in which a company shifts from being privately held to being publicly traded. So specifically, here's what it means. It means that let's take a business. Let's say you're running what business do you want to use as an example?
We can use a lemonade stand.
Okay. You've got a lemonade stand and it's going great and you want to expand. So you raise a venture capital round for that lemonade stand.
And just for people who are more new to this topic, can we name a few reasons why you want to? Because from the beginning, it's like, if I'm doing that lemonade stand, I'm getting 100% of the profits, right?
Right.
And if you would have an IPO, what I'm hearing is that you would not, like, if you go public.
That's down the road. We're going to get there in a second. But let's start with...
I'm saying that, like, why would you... I know, but, like, can we talk about why you would make it so you don't own the full company?
Yeah, so you would... Why would you sell a piece of the company? Why would you raise money from investors? Is to expand.
Because you need the money to make more lemonade stands and hire people and
exactly.
get inventory.
Exactly. So it's like you've seen on Shark Tank.
We've been watching a lot of Shark Tank recently. And they very, very asked question is, what do you need the money for?
Exactly. Okay. So let's say you've got your lemonade stand and you want to go, you raise money for the lemonade stand. So you raise $1 million at a $10 million valuation, just like on Shark Tank where they say, so you want to sell 10% of the company.
An evaluation means that you think that your company is worth $10 million.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
We can use smaller numbers here. So, for example, if you had a $10 evaluation and you were selling 10%, then you would want $1.
Exactly. So let's say you're raising $1 million at a $10 million valuation. You're selling 10% of your company. You hold on to 90% and the new investors get 10%. Okay. So now with $1 million, you go and you open a couple more lemonade stands. The business is going great and you want to expand even further to get more lemonade stands. And so now you raise a second round of capital and maybe now you're going to raise $10 million at a $100 million valuation. So
you would have a higher valuation now because you think that you're worth more because you're bigger, you've expanded
exactly.
more inventory.
So you're selling another 10% of the company. So let's say I'm the investors and you're the founder of the company. So originally
But something that you've told to me a lot is that like investors don't like it when someone gets like a better price than them further down the line.
Yes.
How wouldn't that come into play here? Because
So that's a good question. So that's this whole concept of a down round. So this is like, what happens if in the first round you sell 10% of the company for $1 million or at a $10 million valuation, and then the business isn't doing so well, and then you have to sell, say, 20% of the company at a $5 million valuation.
Sure.
What happens to the last people that paid the higher price?
It's not fair.
So they're basically unhappy. So sometimes in those contracts, and this is kind of a side issue, sometimes in those contracts, they have the ability as kind of protection for them that if you give a lower price to somebody else, then you have to like go back in time and lower the price that they paid. So basically...
give them some of their money back or increase their percentage.
Exactly. Increase their percentage. That's exactly what it is. And so that's called a ratchet and it's called the down round and that's a whole other topic.
And we've seen that before because like sometimes it's like it's a necessary step to take because like you really want those investors
yes
or specific investors but they want a better deal so you're like well, on the one hand, I do have to give more percentage of my company to all of my previous investors, but it's worth it.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so you sold 10% at a $10 million valuation. You sell another 10% at a $100 million valuation. So you now own, this is kind of a tricky math question. So you originally owned 100% and it went down to 90%.
Uh-huh.
And then you sold another 10%. So you have to do 0.9 or 90% of 90%. Which is...
So 0.9 times 0.9?
Yeah, exactly. Which is what?
So 0.81? No, hold on, hold on. Yep, 0.81.
81%. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so you own 81% of the business, and the investors who have put in a total of $11 million, right, they own 19% of the business, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So now business is going great, and you want to go public. And the reasons that you might want to go public...
Oh, so there's a difference between going public and having investors.
Yes. Yes. So right now you're still privately held. So you're like, I don't know, businesses that you're familiar with that are privately held, .LA, like the company that I'm working on, right? That's privately held, meaning that only the employees and the investors own shares in it. But other companies like Zillow are publicly held, meaning you can buy.
And if you're someone who like trades stocks for a living or use the stock market and buys or sells stocks, you couldn't get stock of .LA unless you, like Flush.LA, came to them, asked for that person
exactly, unless an employee or one of the investors sold their shares, right? It's not just on the open market like a public company.
Got it.
Okay, so now you want to take your lemonade stand public. Why would you want to take your lemonade stand public? A couple of reasons. First of all, you might want to raise more capital, right? Meaning sell more of the business in order to get money in the door, right? Secondly, you might want to create...
And wait, you have to remember here, I'm not talking to you, but like people in general. You're losing part of the company, but like it's not, even if you didn't really need the money to help your business, if you grow your business, then and you have to own less percent of it, you could still be making more money than you would have like before, you know?
Exactly.
Like, if you own 80% of the business and then now you own 60% because you went public, but you've expanded your business, so now you're like global.
Exactly.
So now 60% is worth way more, like per year.
That's exactly
than
right.
80%.
That's exactly right. So, so now why would you want to go public? Well, first of all, to raise more capital.
Right.
Second of all, to create liquidity. And liquidity is a funny word. It sounds like liquid, right? Like mm-hmm. like water, milk, yep. or juice, or something.
Sure.
But really, what it means is like that you can get the money out. So basically, like, if there's liquidity, meaning it means that the stock is trading and therefore you as the founder or the other employees, you can sell some stock and make cash. Okay. So if it's public, you can sell shares in it. If it's private, it's a lot harder to sell shares in it because you have to sell it to an individual investor.
Wait, I'm confused.
Okay.
When you say sell the stocks and get the money, wouldn't that money be going back into the company?
So it would be. So right now you own 81% of the company and the investors own 19%.
So what's the difference between selling shares to get money for your business and liquidity?
Perfect question. So it's the difference between what's called primary sales and secondary sales. Okay. Primary sales is when the company sells the stock. So like, for example, when we did the $10 million round, the company sold $10 million of stock. The company got $10 million of cash. Secondary sale is when
they put that back into their business.
So that's in the company's bank account.
Got it.
And a secondary sale is when the employees or the investors sell their shares so they get the money, not the company.
Okay.
So one of the main reasons why you'd want to go public is so that employees and investors can get liquidity, meaning they can start selling their shares in the public markets, right? So like once Zillow was public,
if you're an employee of the company, are you authorized to like sell your shares for money?
Good question. You are, but there are certain restrictions. You might have remembered this from Zillow, where there's a trading window. So like there are a couple times a year.
Oh yeah, because you can't like you know how Zillow is doing.
Exactly.
So you can't like sell. You can't. It's really hard for you to sell or buy Zillow stock.
Exactly. You have to wait until just a couple times a year. When basically like after earnings, when you've told all the world how the company is doing, and then you've waited a couple days for everything to sort of settle out, then management, as long as management doesn't have any secret information, what they call material non-public information, MNPI, which means like any secrets, then they can sell. But just during those couple times a year. So Anyway, so one of the benefits of going public is that then there's a stock out there, and employees and investors can sell whenever they want.
So do you know offhand how much of a do you know how much of like Amazon or Google, because those are public companies, are owned by the owner or the company itself?
Yes. So you can go look that up, actually. Mm-hmm. It's in all the filings.
I would say
Amazon. I think Jeff Bezos owns about 10% of Amazon.
And oh, wow.
I would guess that other employees own another 2 or 3%.
But like it's funny because he sold so much stock and put so much money back into the company and grown it so much, that 10% is worth more than any percent of any company.
Yes. So he only owns 10% of Amazon, but
that 10% is worth like 100% of like
exactly all the companies. Exactly. But somebody else might own, you know, like I was talking to someone the other day who owns he's the CEO of a public company and he owns 50% of it.
And but so the 50% isn't worth as much.
Not nearly as much as the 10% of Amazon.
Yeah.
So, but you can look all that up in the company filings for any company. Now, the thing about going public is the way that it works is kind of controversial, because the way that it works is a company files a document with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's the part of the government that like oversees all this. And that document is called an S-1. And that document has everything in it that an investor would want to know about the company. It's a couple hundred pages long.
Have you seen one of those before? You invest. But you invest also. So you've read both sides of that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I helped write the one for Zillow. I've been on a couple other boards of companies that have gone public, and then I've contributed to them or I've read them. And then I like reading them just, you know, out of interest for other companies that I find interesting. So like, when Airbnb went public, for example, I read the S-1 for Airbnb because it's just interesting to learn. Airbnb didn't go public. Who am I thinking of? Wayfair. When Wayfair went public, I read the S-1. Airbnb hasn't filed to go public yet. But anyway,
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's fun.
Usually I assume that like the bigger the company, the more likely they are to be public.
Right. So like SpaceX, for example, is private, even though it's a huge company, right? But Tesla is public.
That actually, it's kind of unrelated, but thinking of SpaceX as private is extremely easy for me. Because I did a debate topic called privatization of space exploration.
Right.
So I was talking about private space companies, like not NASA.
Yeah.
So private and SpaceX are two words that correlate in my head very well.
But in the context of that debate, they really meant, when they said private, they meant government versus companies.
Yes.
They didn't mean publicly traded companies versus private traded.
Yes.
Anyway, so you can have a big public company or a big private company. You can have a small public company or a small private company. It kind of doesn't really...
It all depends on like how much you want to sell off, how much you want to grow your company.
Exactly.
It's definitely case specific.
But so the way that companies go public is they file this S-1 and then they do what's called a roadshow, where they meet with all these potential investors, all these like hedge funds and mutual funds and investors. And those investors, they say how much they want to buy of the IPO. So they say like, I want to buy $10 million worth of stock in the IPO at $20 a share. And this other company will say, I want to buy, 3% of the IPO at $22 a share.
And this is or isn't going public?
This is the process of going public. So it's the couple weeks that lead up to going public.
Got it. So, not having investors.
We've already raised the private capital,
venture capital rounds.
So now we're going public. And so we do a roadshow and we meet with all these companies, these investment
You like decide firms. How much to sell your stock.
Exactly. And so they place an order and they say like, I want to buy this much of the IPO and that much of the IPO.
Sure.
And what usually happens is that there's a lot more demand than there is supply. So what do we know happens when there's more demand than supply? What typically happens?
You raise the prices.
Yeah, exactly. So the price goes up.
I really liked our supply and demand episode, by the way.
But what's tricky about an IPO is it's very hard for the company and the investment banks that are advising them to figure out what price to sell the shares at, because it's like you have all these requests from investors.
Can't you also just issue more stock if you run out?
You can, but how much
that
more stock?
That dilutes you,
exactly. So
that's kind of reminds me of our inflation episode.
Yes, yeah,
where
that's
we
right.
Where we talked about how I keep saying company, the government can print as much money as they want, but it's just, it doesn't really help them. They can't just print more money if they go bankrupt, because it just makes all the money that they already have even more useless.
Correct. So a company, same thing. A company can issue more stock, but that dilutes the existing holders.
So like now, if Amazon issued a lot more stock, for example, Jeff Bezos's 10%
goes down.
Would be like, it would still be 10%, right? But exactly. It wouldn't matter as much, essentially.
That's exactly right. So we had that at Zillow when we bought Trulia. We issued a third of the company's stock to Trulia. So all of a sudden, what everybody owned in Zillow went down by one third. So you had to think to yourself, let's say you owned, 9% of the company. Well, it's going to go down to 6% of the company. But you have to think to yourself, would I rather own 6% of Zillow plus Trulia, or would I rather own 9% of just Zillow?
Zillow plus Trulia.
And
obviously.
So we decided that it would be better to, to have owned one third less of Zillow, but have Trulia part of it. Anyway, okay. So with the IPO, what frequently happens is the company goes public at a certain price, and then the price shoots up. Because you only sold a certain number of shares, but people want to have more, own more shares of that. And so there's this thing where the stock price goes way up, this kind of IPO pop, and that's sort of controversial because it's a function of the company basically selling at too low a price. So there are a bunch of people that have come up with ideas of how to improve this. One of the main ones that you might have heard me talk about is a direct listing. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. But I'll just explain it real quick because we're running out of time. So a direct listing is when the company doesn't sell shares in the IPO. So the company doesn't actually raise any proceeds. All it does is it basically says, okay, everyone who owns shares in the company, all the venture capitalists and everybody, your shares are now publicly traded on an exchange. And now they can go up or down or whatever, but the company doesn't sell anything.
That's interesting.
And so it's kind of a different flavor.
And the stock isn't like diluted, is it?
The stock's not diluted. Exactly. There's no dilution. The company doesn't get any proceeds, and there's not typically this big pop. So there's some pros to the direct listing. There are also some cons. We can't get into all the details right now. But frequently when you hear people talk about IPOs, they also talk about direct listings as like an alternative to it. So Spotify, for example, went public through a direct listing. It's publicly traded right now. They didn't issue any shares in the IPO, so it actually wasn't really an initial public offering because they didn't offer any shares,
okay.
But it shifted from being private to public through a direct listing.
Sure.
Okay, so let's wrap up. Luke, explain to me what an IPO is.
Okay, an IPO stands for Initial Public Holding.
Offering.
Oh, darn it.
Not IPO.
IPO. Got it. And it's basically the process of going public so that you can be publicly traded on the stock market. And companies can sell a certain amount of their stock. If they issue more stock, then it dilutes their own.
Mm-hmm.
And some reason that you would want to sell shares of the company to people is that it would give you more money for yourself or to put back into the business, which grows the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slightly controversial because it gets very expensive very quickly because of the high demand.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And one of the solutions to that is a direct holding.
Direct listing.
Darn it! I don't know why. I don't know why holding keeps popping.
Very close.
And a direct listing is where the people who already own shares in the company sell their shares publicly.
Sort of. It's like all the shares that are already owned just kind of become tradable on the exchange. They're not selling them necessarily. They could sell them, but they switch from being untradable to tradable.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. See you, Luke.
Thanks for watching.